Now, our reading this morning is from Mark chapter 16. So this concludes our study in Mark's Gospel, and it's the story of the resurrection of Christ. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they could embalm him. Very early on Sunday morning, as the sun rose, they went to the tomb. They worried out loud to each other, "Who will roll back the stone from the tomb for us?" Then they looked up, saw that it had been rolled back. It was a huge stone, and walked right in. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed all in white. They were completely taken aback, astonished. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, the one they nailed on the cross. He's been raised up. He's here no longer. You can see for yourselves that the place is empty. Now, on your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there exactly as he said." They got out as fast as they could, beside themselves, their heads swimming, stunned. They said nothing to anyone. Amen. Jesus' resurrection is our hope. And so, Resurrection Sunday, or Easter Sunday, is full of hope. But what do we mean by hope? What do we understand by that? I'd like us just to think about that for a few moments. When I was young, I hoped that I would be able to grow up and drive an Alexander's bus. That was one of my great hopes, which has never yet, notice yet, been fulfilled. When I was young, I hoped I would grow up to play in goals for Partick Thistle. Oh. Right. And I think that they're glad that that never transpired. But it was a great hope of mine. And we talk about hope in so many different ways, don't we? But very often, that hope is about an aspiration that we may have. We hope that our children will turn out okay. We hope for certain things in the future. We hope that our health will be good. We hope that we will never lose our job. There are all kinds of hopes that we have. And really what we're saying is that we wish that to be the case, but that we cannot ever be certain that that's how things will turn out. However, when we talk about Christian hope, and you look at the word hope in the Bible, you see it has a completely different understanding and meaning from something that is tentative to something that is certain. And therefore, when God talks to us of having hope, he's talking about a certainty that belongs to us here and now, and also in the future. That hope is rooted in one or two things. It's first of all rooted in a person. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. And so Christian hope is seen in our understanding of who Jesus is. Our Christian hope is that we are forgiven. Our Christian hope is that all of the barriers that stood between us and God have now been removed forever. Our Christian hope is that one day when we die, we will go to a safe place with Jesus Christ. And so all of our hopes are around a person, Jesus Christ, and what he did, and in particular, what he did within a short period of time, in these 3 days surrounding Easter. If you look at Easter, you will see that there are two fundamental things happened. He died on the cross, and also he was raised again. And those two things are inseparable. They are two sides of the one coin. We cannot do without them both acting in our part. And that's the second thing. Our hope is not just in Jesus, it's in what Jesus did for us. And the cross of Jesus Christ, which is almost in every Christian church, looms large on the horizon whenever we speak about Jesus and whenever we speak about hope. Because the cross of Jesus Christ is fundamental to everything that a Christian understands in relation to themselves. Every one of us are what the Bible would call sinners. Every one of us falls short of the glory of God. Every one of us don't get it right. Every one of us have got a black mark against us as far as God is concerned. Every one of us. And that needs to be cleared. And that can only be cleared by someone who is fit to do it. And that's where Jesus comes in. That's where God the Son comes in. And through his death on the cross, he accomplishes what we couldn't do. He gets everything put right for us. Everything that was wrong, he has put it right for us. And he has made it possible for us to be forgiven. And so the cross of Jesus Christ stands large as far as the Christian is concerned, because only through the cross of Jesus Christ can things be put right. And so the Christian is someone who puts their faith, not just in Jesus, but in the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. But there was something else that looms large in our horizon. And the other thing that looms large in our horizon and that we want to try and push away from us so often is death. Death is the great enemy, isn't it? Death is the great thing that seeks to swallow us up and take us to a place that we don't want to go. It robs us of life. And then we hear the words of Jesus Christ. And these are words, my friends, that I speak again and again and again at funeral services. But they're words that are just full of hope. I am the resurrection and the life. What a statement. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And I think, I thought from when I heard those words first, that they're the most powerful words that have ever been spoken by any human being who's ever lived. Now you will excuse me, please. Some of you may not have heard this, but many of you will. An illustration of what Jesus said there. And I kind of struggled with understanding what Jesus was saying when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. What he meant by that. And then my mind went back to when I lived in Drumchapel in Glasgow. And where I was the son of a policeman. Not a terribly good place to be the son of a policeman. In the 1960s, in the mid-60s. And I was about 10 years old, maybe 10, 11 years old. And I had what can only be considered as a burden. And that burden was a six-year-old brother called Callum, right? And every single time I left the house with my brother in tow to go to school, the same words would be spoken by my mother. Now remember to look after your wee brother. And that's what was expected. Well, he's not wee now, he's 6 feet five, but that was what was suggested then. But anyway, Callum was in primary two at the time, and he was being bullied by a boy in primary four. Now, my brother really has not got an aggressor bone in his body, right? He's a big lump, really, and he still lives. He's 56 now, and he's still a big lump. But anyway, he just didn't have an aggressor bone in his body, and he was younger than this boy. He was an aggressive bully. And in those days, you did not go and tell your teacher that that's what was happening. Now kids are encouraged to go and spill the beans, but in those days you didn't do that. And in those days you didn't tell your mum or dad either. You'd be too frightened to admit it to your mum and dad. But if you were lucky enough to have an older brother or sister, you would tell your older brother or sister. Well, he told me all about it the way home from school one day. He identified who the bully was. I got a hold of the bully, took him round to the middens, as we call them, right, and dealt with them in such a way that he never bullied my brother again. Okay. Now, Des is like the bully, isn't it? It always has more power over us than we have over it, and we cannot resist it. And when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he's saying, I have what you don't have. I have power over death. And if you believe in me, you will live, even although your body will die. And if you live believing in me, says Jesus, you will never die. And there is the ultimate word of hope that comes through to us from Jesus Christ at Easter time. He's saying, what you don't have, I have. It's the same with the cross. You couldn't put your life right with God, but I could. You couldn't get yourself forgiven, but I could. You couldn't destroy the power of death, but I could. And therefore, through faith in Jesus Christ, there is everything to hope for and nothing to fear. So you put these two things together and you have a powerful statement of who Jesus Christ is and what hope means. And so when we talk about death, for instance, we can rightly talk about coming to the end of a chapter, but not the end of the story, because the story goes on. You know what it's like if you're really getting into a good book and you come to the end of a chapter, you're looking forward to the next chapter, aren't you? And that's what Christians should be doing. Not fearing something that no longer has any power over them, but looking forward to the next chapter that is promised in words that Jesus spoke elsewhere when he said, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. Christian hope. But that Christian hope isn't simply for the future. Sometimes we look and we kind of express it as something that belongs only to the future. It belongs to the here and now. It belongs to us because our hope is that Christ is with us. He's not away from us, but in spirit and through his spirit, he is here with us. And so that means that this hope can transform our lives. That means that we have the power of Christ with us in the here and now. So let me ask you a question, as I ask myself the same question. How seriously do we take Jesus Christ? How seriously do we try to engage with him in order that our lives might be full of Christian hope, the hope that transforms us day by day, that changes bad attitudes and bad behaviours, that helps us to love even when we find it difficult to love,
that enables us to forgive when it's difficult to forgive. It enables us to love our enemies when that seems impossible. That enables us to be generous when everything wants to make us greedy and possessive. It's the hope of a transformed life. And so, today, we stand again on that pinnacle place in the Christian faith as we look over the landscape and see just wonderful truths expressed in the word hope. God has put everything right for us. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. God has granted us mercy and kindness rather than judgment. God has promised us and will continue to promise to us his presence with us throughout every single moment for the rest of our lives and beyond that forever. And all because the grave could not hold the Son of God, who is now alive and a living God, as alive as he has ever been, with us in spirit, and he's only a heartbeat away. And if we want to begin a relationship with him, then we do that simply by faith. Open your heart, open your mind, open your life to him. And he will come in and give you new life, new beginning. The beginning of a journey with him that